Breaking down what's up.
What's up?
This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Yes, we call it Leafs Nation right now. It'll be Leafs Nation postgame in a few minutes' time because we call it Ragging the Puck, and we like doing that as we want to get on it and help set up the excitement, all that's going on, all we'll do right after the game as Leafs Nation, Gord Stellick, Sean Matthias on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Leafs Nation brought to you by GTA Acura Dealers. It's a 5-5 tie between the Toronto Maple Leafs / St. Pat's and the Philadelphia Flyers. And we, of course, right after the game, we'll hear from Mike Babcock. Chris Johnson will join us. We'll hear from the players. And Sean, there's going to be a lot to talk about. Third consecutive game at home, third consecutive indifferent performance, to say the least. But, you know, kind of like the other night, this is the Leafs, no shortage of comebacks. We'll have to see if this one falls short or not. But what a game.
Yeah, another not great start for the Leafs. But, I mean, 10 goals right now. We'll see what it ends with. But I can't believe how many goals are happening. It's crazy. It's a great game for the fans. Fans are having fun. It's beautiful jerseys. It's St. Paddy's Day on Sunday. So it's a great way to start the weekend. But I mean, as a hockey mind, as a coach, I mean, it'd be interesting to see what Babcock says after the game about this one, because there's a lot of mistakes going on right now.
Now, you know, the coach is going to say that they hate these games. Fans will say they like these games, particularly if they win. What about as a player? Obviously, if you get some of those points, because you like
it.
Okay,
yeah,
so if you
yeah.
get the apples, you like them. But sometimes you got to go, well, that was fun, right?
Yeah, if you get your cookies, I mean, it's a great night, right? So
yeah.
It's a point night for both teams. And I'm sure you look at the stat sheet. I mean, Austin Matthews -3 right now. He's probably not having too much fun. But for a lot of other guys, Jake Muzzin, he's got a three-point night going himself. I bet he's having a little bit of fun in those jerseys.
Well, you know, and we joined George Russick earlier. You joined in the first intermission. I joined him in the second. And one of his questions to me just was about the foot speed of Jake Muzzin. You know, and we're just chatting about that. Guy scores two goals while I'm on.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, just that's that kind of night. You're getting questioned the big picture. And then he scores a couple goals. Martin Marincin, you scored since Martin Marincin. He hasn't scored since November 2016.
How's that feel, Marty? I got one before you. So, I mean, it's one of those nights. I mean, this is a good night for some of these guys. Maybe it's good for their confidence. You talk about Muzzin, his foot speed. I was saying that he is what he is. He's a big physical player who comes from a different conference that's typically more physical and it's a slower. And the East has always been known as being more skill and more speed. So, I mean, he is what he is. He's going to be a good guy in the playoffs. He's won a cup. To talk about his foot speed, I mean, he's got a great shot and he's seen it tonight.
You know, just It's amazing. I know, talking to an LA Kings scout, I mean, they won two Stanley Cups relatively recently, but they've identified how it's become a speed league. And Jake Muzzin's a great example. He's got one of those rings, but just about trying to get a little bit quicker. And I'm not knocking the trade. I like the trade, but how all of a sudden he's slow. Like when the hell did this happen? Did you kind of notice it? Like each year you kept coming, going, Jesus, Murphy, there's more guys that can fly.
Oh yeah. The game's really changed in the last 3 years. And, I mean, maybe it's not playing with Doughty anymore that's hurting him, but he's a good player. I really like him. I like his shot. I like how he walks the line. He's not the quickest player, but he plays physical. He gives the team a lot of grit on the blue line, and I like him personally, but it is a different league now. It's quicker. It's a lot younger. You see all these guys, they're playing a different style, and I mean, a couple years ago, it was Jamie Benn leading the league with 87 points. Now, how many guys are going to have over 100 points this season? It's just a very different game.
That was a funny game, right? He got them all in the last period of
yeah.
the last game.
And JT almost had him too. Didn't he?
Yeah.
Didn't he say he didn't get a point or something?
Yeah.
He didn't tip it?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And you're right. And now all of a sudden back to getting all the points and all the speed, and that's going on. And again, it's a 5-5 tie right now. And we'll, of course, bring you to the end of that. And then we'll go over. We'll hear all the goal calls too. I can't wait to hear Joe Bowen. Joe Bowen, these are the kind of games that Joe Bowen just gets wired about. And it's going to be fun to hear that. The Toronto St. Pat stuff, what is it like? It may sound like a dumb question, but they're wearing the greens, so it's all new equipment. And I don't know how much we know that how reverence things like skates are, and certainly gloves are very personal things. So I'm just curious about the odd game when you throw something, not even third jersey, it's third everything night.
It's the pants. The pants
really,
are the worst.
Really, huh?
Honestly, like some guys have trouble with gloves because some guys like their gloves wet and a little bit worked in. But for the most part, nowadays, more when I was younger, I noticed a lot of older guys, they liked having their gloves with some, maybe even some holes in them. But now with skates and injuries, a lot of these young guys, they have brand new gloves. Sometimes guys use three gloves in one game. So it's not really the gloves, it's more the pants, because even if you have a shell, I mean, they all fit differently. They're never the same. It's I personally always had a problem with getting into new pants.
Yeah, you know, the other thing when you, so a game like tonight, but the games in general, the last three, I don't know how many you've seen or not, but just the other two.
I was in Costa Rica, so I was surfing and having a time.
Yeah, you're like with Brian. Brian Burke was at Atlantis.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he went down the leap of faith.
Did
you? You know what I'm talking
about?
Yeah,
I did it too. Yeah.
I've never.
I wonder if he was with the dolphins. That's.
I did that one. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You swim with a dolphin?
Oh, yeah.
I should have asked him that too. I couldn't believe he did the leap of faith. I
mean, imagine him just going behind a dolphin. Just
the dolphin swimming away. He did, yesterday, when he was on Primetime Sports, he literally got in the door from being down there at the Atlantis Resort and stuff. So, anyway, I'm glad you did the leap of faith. My daughter did our daughter did the leap of faith. I couldn't do it. It's a slide.
Well, next time.
I don't think so.
How was his tan, by the way?
Haven't seen him yet. I think he would still look pasty. I'll see him soon. Yeah. I just think, Brian, he always, but, you know, we talked about a number of different things. It's interesting because, as you know, he's always to the point about different things that are going on. And, you know, why don't we chat about Freddie Anderson? Mark Savard says, I haven't seen Freddie play well in big games. And then Brian quickly said, well, wait a second. And I kind of agree in that the biggest was the playoffs last year. Yeah. And Freddie had a subpar series. I don't know how many big games there were this year. I know what savvy means. Like, it's kind of like when you play Tampa Bay or maybe Boston or someone like that. But I've liked how Freddie's played, and I look forward to see how he plays in the playoffs. And then we'll make more of a judgment about the big games. But
they have beat a lot of good teams this year with him in net, right? They've beat Washington. They've won a lot of big games. So, But I understand it goes down to playoffs, but the team hasn't performed up to what I think their standard is now. I mean, I think they're going to get past that first round personally. So I think this is the year that, if there's going to be any question marks, it's going to be at the end of this season. If they don't get past that first round, maybe you do start to say that.
Now, why do you think they're going to get, what makes you feel good about them in the first round this year?
I think they're a year older. They're a young team. I think they're hungry. I think they got some swagger in their step. I don't think, being a young team like that and doing well personally for a lot of those guys, I hope they respect the Boston Bruins, because they should. They're a good team, but I think they're going to go in with that swagger and just that little bit of cockiness, and hopefully that doesn't hurt them. Sometimes that arrogance can do that, but I think this team has good leadership with Tavares now in there in the room. I like Hainsey talking to guys. I think Morgan Riley's really good for the back end. And I think this is a year where you're going to see good goaltending in the playoffs. I truly believe that.
Now, and again, like I said, it's still 5-5. So right when the game ends, we'll do what we call the walk to the subway. Because I used to do that with your good friend James's dad, my brother, Bob. You leave College Street and go on the subway, take it home, and chat about the game. Yak. Now you do it at Union Station.
I thought
James
was walking to Subway to get a sub.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, I don't think James can find the subway. I don't know. But anyway, back in the good old days. So Union Station. By the way, check which line's running or not running, because there's always, I know my son went and they had to go off at St. Clair once, right? Anyway, because the subway wasn't running, they're always doing lighting fixtures or upgrades and all that. But it was always fun, like bouncing things, kind of like the balls in a bingo machine if there was a game. And tonight will be like one of those when we talk later on and go over the goals. But as everyone breaks down everything about the team, and more so when you lose a few games, brought up that, you know, Nazem Kadri's a guy they got to get going. And Naz has been hurt, so he just kind of got back. But that one goal was a Nazem Kadri vintage goal. And we'll talk about it later. But just, I guess it was the Marinson goal that tied it. But that was the best of everything when you talk about the depth they can have in the playoffs. And as a number three center, what he can bring.
That's the type of goal you need in the playoffs. You need a guy who's battling hard and grit. It's a gritty goal. It was a good one. I mean, he's playing third line. He's not playing the roles he's used to. So you can't really expect that big 30-goal season anymore, and there was a nice one right there.
Yeah, well, there we go. Auston Matthews has made it 6-5.
I wonder if this one will count.
Yeah, that's why. Well, then here's part of the storyline again. You know, in the first period.
It's crazy.
And again, you know, you end up being a homer when you say if that goal had counted.
It should
you know, have. Yeah, it should have. The Auston Matthews goal that basically the other night, the net went off the moorings. This one, he'd put it in. Net went off the moorings, wasn't counted. But momentum's huge. Those things are killers. I know it's, you're a good
team.
And
then they got scored on right after a couple.
So you're, you know, if you're a good team, you got to shake those off and get back at it. But no question. That was a tough one. So Auston Matthews, boy, they better hang on to lead right now. This is his biggest celebration, I think, since in Chicago, game number three, when he was doing that. Can you hear the crowd? He has just let every fiber of his body go that way. So they are up 6-5 now. With 5 minutes left, unbelievably right now, they've come back from a 5-2 deficit against the Philadelphia Flyers. And boy, oh boy, we can't wait to get going on this one when it ends, if they can hang on to this.
His release is so smooth. It's so nice. I can't even put it into words how nice it is to watch. It's just something special.
Who else had the good release like that?
Well, as the guy who got drafted right behind him, Patty Laine. I mean, yep. It's a different type of shot. He's more of a one-timer type of player, but I mean, it's like watching a really nice golf swing. That's mm-hmm. how I would describe it. I mean, obviously you got Ovechkin, but it's just weird when you see a guy shoot like that. It's beautiful. It's just, as a player, it doesn't make sense, especially with a guy. I mean, you got Matthews who uses, it looks like a short stick. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these players now use toe curves. It's the way the new NHL is. When I was breaking into just junior, I mean, everyone used heel curves. And now the new NHL, I mean, I'm sure it's the same in junior too, but all these guys are using toe curves and they're teaching how to curl and drag it. And it's a different type of release. And it's the new age of the NHL. That's part of it too, right? We were talking about that earlier. So it's fun to watch.
Yeah, well, Gord Stelic, Sean Mathias, Leafs Nation right now. About 3 minutes left. Leafs are up 6-5 against the Philadelphia Flyers. And right at the end of the game, we will have Leafs Nation postgame. And boy, oh boy, we are going to have a dandy postgame, hopefully for Leafs Nation. The Leafs hang on to this lead, but whatever happens, this has been one of the really remarkable, crazy, fun, loose, brutal, little bit every kind of games they've had this year. And it's all going down on a rare Friday night at Scotiabank Arena. You know, it's funny, you talk about those kind of releases and Austin Matthews, then you mentioned Laine, and you know, Ovi sort of is more, a little bit more the one-timer. Stamkos is so much the one-timer, right, that they
Tokers,
get
it. Both
yeah.
of them.
And the other guy with Laine, who has struggled this year where Matthews hasn't, I loved when Laine scored in his own net. That he shoots, you know, he shoots the puck so much that he just, yeah. And I almost think to get out of his funk this year, he almost should wire one in his own net, because it just kind of showed.
Might as well, right?
Yeah, well, it just showed the fact that the guy just loves to shoot the puck. And he is not having the same success as Austin Matthews is having so far this season.
No, Austin Matthews is something else. I mean, he's a centerman. He plays a different position, and he controls the game. He can stick handle. You just see what he did there. But he's just a different player. He's a monster out there. And he's just pumped up right now. He's going, let's go, baby.
Well, he just scored again. It is unbelievably. That's Mike Myers there, too. Everything's going on here. We got Willard out of the game, Walter Gretzky, Mike Myers there. So some of the greatest Leaf fans are there. 7-5 now. 7-5. The Toronto Maple Leafs lead the Philadelphia Flyers. They were down 5-2. And by the way, this also, on an unfortunate note, I would say the Flyers already had a number of nails in their playoff coffin. This will be the last one. They'd made an incredible, incredible race in the East. We're getting close there within 3 points. And then they lost the other night to the Washington Capitals. And then this one tonight, 2:39, will be about all she wrote. But on this story, but so it'll still be a positive season for them given when they were. But this is huge for the Maple Leafs.
Huge. I mean, with the Flyers, it's like every single season that they're fighting for that eighth spot, right? But there's 0% chance I'm going to remember every single goal tonight. There's way too much action going on. 12 goals, it's nuts. But
yeah.
It's something with those jerseys.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Maybe they'll wear them for good. And, you know, the Philadelphia Flyers as well, that goaltending.
Oh.
And, you know, Brian Elliott's played well of late. Like, people forget that Carter Hart hadn't played in about 3 weeks. He played last night. He got hurt in a pregame warm-up mm-hmm. about 3 weeks ago. And the Flyers continued on a pretty good tear, and Brian Elliott actually played okay. What a sieve tonight.
He's fighting it for sure. Everything that's going at him, I mean, he's not handling anything. He's not, his rebound control is just, it's not, I mean, he's having an off night for sure. You want to hope it's an off night.
I mean, I don't know, when a goaltender is off, you get the kind of thing that you're, okay, I would think playing-wise, you're a little leery to take chances maybe, play a little different. But what about going and giving him the words of encouragement? Is the kind of thing that, okay, there's one or two guys that should do it. If I do it, he's going to get pissed off and don't patronize me or that thing. Or do they appreciate, hey, buddy, we need you. We're pulling for you, that kind of thing.
I wasn't one of the guys that could go up to some of the goaltenders. So, it depends on the guy, right? I play with Markstrom, and you could go up to him and he'd probably be smirking. I mean, sometimes he'd be rattled too. So it depends on the mood. It always changes. But for some guys, I play with Vokun. There's no chance I would go up to him. He would just lose it on the plane on me and if I did that. So it definitely depends on the guy. But on a game like this, I mean, you're staying away from him.
Flyers take a timeout. 1:34 left. Leafs unbelievably up 7-5 over Philadelphia. Coming back from a 5-2 deficit. This is going to be a beauty. This may be the most fun at Scotiabank Arena all season long. They had Vaucoum was the guy that who was the defenseman that got
Allard.
Yeah. And he swung the stick yeah. and he hit Vaucoum. And I'm not saying. Doubting Vaucoum was injured, but he really looked like he was almost dead. Like, I mean, Keith Ballard felt bad enough.
Yeah, he went out on a stretcher. I was on the bench.
I was going to say, So that had the Florida Panthers. So you would have been playing. Yeah.
I was there.
And and how badly injured was Vaucoum?
He had a couple stitches in his ear. I think that pretty generous stitches, to be honest.
So, so was he playing it up or something, or was he woozy? Or I mean, you're right. He went off on a stretcher. And I always said, what Ballard did is wrong, and it's a reminder you shouldn't be doing that, but... Man, oh man! You feel bad enough, and then the guy's being carted off, and people go, "What the hell? Did he club him over the head?"
I mean, it was probably more for precaution. I mean, we had to go to the hospital and actually pick him up. He delayed our flight quite a bit, but I mean, it didn't stop him from having a couple glasses of wine after flight. So after the game, but it was pretty funny. He had like a big bandage around his head and everything. So it was, that was a weird one. You still see it on the highlights, and Ballard felt pretty bad about that, but it's not too often you see one of your players slash your goalie in the head after a goal, so it was a weird night.
Jeez, I forgot about the old days of picking up a guy at the hospital. That's right. You're ready to go, and you go, no, we got to swing by and get Sean Matthias. And you kind of go, well, can't he stay overnight? You know, whatever. But
they probably would have left me overnight. Yeah.
Well,
get home on your own, bud.
If you're staying overnight, it's not a good thing, I guess, as far as it goes. So that was back then. 1:22 left. As far as the game goes, this has just been incredible, and this will be one of the more fun Leafs Nation post games to talk about. And from a game that when it was 5-2, and in the world of social media, sharing with texts and all that with people at the game or watching the game, and oh my goodness, now it's 7-6.
I wonder if there's green beer tonight.
So the Philadelphia Flyers have scored to make it 7-6. It's James Van Riemsdyk. It looks like he gets the hat trick.
Yeah.
First hat trick since an ex-Florida Panther, first hat trick by a former Toronto Maple Leaf since an ex-Florida Panther. Joe Nieuwendyk did it back in 2006. Sean, we're going to be talking about so many things that this is killing them, losing defensive zone faceoffs and Austin Matthews in particular. This is another one. This has been killing them the last five games.
I'd be more concerned about there's nobody boxing guys out in front of the net right now. It just looks soft.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're thinking about, if I remember Babcock correctly, and I think I'm right here. I mean, I don't think he would be too happy about that, too thrilled. So, but I mean, I don't think he's going to be too thrilled about a 7-6 game anyways.
Well, and the goalie going to the bench, so they're going to try to see if they can do it. I mean, Edmonton got this whole thing started with a Leaf win, but Edmonton got two goals late when they pulled the goaltender just on last Saturday. So they had a couple of games where they couldn't hold the lead after two against Vancouver for the first time in the season. The Oilers staged a great comeback in that particular game and then all of a sudden they've had this. So we'll see in the 50 seconds left what they can do here. But boy, oh boy, this has just been a tough game that way. And first of all, you're absolutely right about in the case, just Austin Matthews losing the draw, but you mentioned the Leafs not boxing out. I don't want to be a smartass, but you see Nikita Zaitsev there?
Yeah, like
that's his style.
There, yeah. Watching.
That's called passive. That's called and again, I don't know.
But why is he even out there?
I don't know, because I know you don't have Travis Durbin, Jake Gardner, but really, when you got Morgan Riley and Ron Hainsey or whatever you want to do,
they can eat minutes up
in that regard. Here's a tough one. They didn't quite get it out. Jeez,
This is maybe one of the ugliest games I've seen in a while. I mean, it's great for a fan. The NHL wants more goals. I get that, but I mean, if you're looking at it as a coach or as a player and trying to break down the mistakes. You might have 2 days worth of video right now.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Good thing they play tomorrow. So.
Oh my, you know what? The game has ended.
There we go.
It's a 7-6 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Philadelphia Flyers. The Flyers just had a chance at the end there. Just had a chance at the end to tie it.
Yeah. I mean, this is one of the wildest games. I mean, it's great that they had the jerseys. The fans are probably having fun. I just want to know if they had green beer to go with it, because the green beer would be flowing right now.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll grab us a simulated green beer. Why don't we do that and just figure it out? Look at that. Freddie Anderson either makes a big save with 1 second left. So we are going to get recalibrated, geared, jacked up. It's going to be Leafs Nation postgame when we come back. It's a 7-6 barn burner. The Toronto St. Pat's / Toronto Maple Leafs beat the Philadelphia Flyers 7-6. Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Sean Matthias on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
14 seconds to go. Centering pass doesn't work. Van Riemsdyk around on the boards to the far side. Back for Van Riemsdyk. Flyers into the corner. Gostisbehere still with it. Gostisbehere or like Voracek trying to come out in front of the net. They break away at it. And it goes wide as the buzzer goes. We had them all the way.
Yes, maybe Joe Bowen was having some of that green beer, dressed like a leprechaun, if you can see it. He dolls it up for St. Paddy's Day, which will be on Sunday. The Leafs dressed in their St. Paddy's Day greens tonight. The Toronto Maple Leafs, they called them the St. Pats a bit. A 7-6 win over the Philadelphia Flyers. As Joe says, tongue-in-cheek, we had them all the way. No, that's a shot. With 1 second left in regulation time, that Freddie Anderson probably had to make his best save of the game. It was a wild, crazy one. A 7-6 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Philadelphia Flyers. We welcome you to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelic, Sean Mathias on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. We'll hear from Mike Babcock. I can't wait to hear from Mike Babcock. We'll chat with Chris Johnston. We'll play back all those goals and see the accumulation of green beer for Joe as he got excited. Shaw, you just saw a picture of Will Arnett with Jim Ralph and Joe that he tweeted out. He would get arrested if he went outside Scotiabank Arena dressed like that, I think.
Oh, my God. That's the best outfit I've seen in a while. I can't wait to see how many of those green beers he's having tonight, because he is buzzing tonight. Absolutely. 13 goals to announce. That was amazing. That was a crazy night for Leaf fans, and fans had a lot of fun, I'm sure.
Now, you said before we just sit down to watch the game, you go, Flyer games are always high-scoring games, right?
Yeah.
And this is when it was like nothing.
Yeah.
And who would know this would come true again?
They're one of those teams. I don't think they know how to play defense, but they sure know how to score, because you go into their barn, you're either losing 5-1 or 5-2 or you're winning 7-6. It's just crazy. They're just the same team every year. They have guys that score a lot of points. Giroux, he's a 100-point guy, but I mean, you got to figure it out on the back end. And like you pointed to earlier, I mean, their goaltending is always a question mark. It's been like that for years. I can't really remember for a long time if they've ever really had a number one guy.
You know, we were looking at it, and when they brought up Carter Hart, and honestly, I wish I could remember the names of two guys they drafted, but like Maxime Ouellette, I think, was one of them. But since, I mean, Ron Hextall, that's how long ago it was. They had Bernie Parent as their first mainstay. This predates you by a ton. Pelle Lindbergh died tragically, but looked like an heir apparent, died in an automobile accident at a young age. And then Ron Hextall. And they've never really invested in goaltending ever since. It's like they lost out on Curtis Joseph that time when he came to the Maple Leafs. And so that probably was part and parcel with your observation of those games too often.
Yeah, they had my buddy Steve Mason there for a while, but I mean, he was a $4.5 million goaltender, and they can spend money too. They have the money. And do you think about the top goalies of the league now? I mean, they're all making $6, $7, $8 million, and now you have Carey Price, who's really set the bar. But they've never really had that big goaltender, that true number one, that's really helping them out, that could give them that push in the playoffs, especially. So it's definitely a question mark.
Okay, we're walking to the subway now. We call it the walk to the subway. The building, when the Leafs were down 5-2, and if it carried on that way, it would have been empty. And the subway wouldn't be jammed or crowded. It's going to be the walk to the subway, jam, pumped, everyone jubilant. There's so many.
Fired up.
Yeah,
they're fired up.
There's so many warts we can go over, and we'll do that as well. But what would you be talking about as you walk to the subway?
I don't know if I'd be able to talk right now. I probably would have had way too many of those green beers, so... But I mean, I would just
sorry
be,
as you stumble to the subway.
As I stumble to the subway, I'd be buzzing. But I mean, as a hockey mind, I'd be going, "What the heck did I just watch?" I mean, as a fan, it's amazing. You want to see those goals. You want to see your top players having good nights. It's good for the confidence. It's a point night. As a player playing in a game like that, I mean, they're a lot of fun when you're on the score sheet. Everyone's getting involved for the most part, and it's fun. It's a fun game when you win it, and when you lose it, it's a tough night, a tough day the next day when you got to watch it all over again on video.
Well, it's like you said, it's a game neither coach will like, but they'll like it a little better, at least if you win. And, you know, one thing I take away from the game is that, you got, like, Jake Muzzin gets two goals. Martin Marincin gets his first goal since November 2016, but, you know, at the end, first of all, I thought it's the best William Nylander's looked in quite some time. He's playing
really
on Austin
good.
Matthews line. And what about Austin? You know, he doesn't show the emotion, and that he, seeing Austin Matthews fired up, jacked up, like almost like game three in Chicago, the first Leaf win on the road back then, that part I like, because when he's like that, you know he's firing, and you know it's a hell of a game.
And you know the guys on the bench are watching that getting just as excited. I mean, he's got that little fist pump he always does when he scores, but tonight it was a big one. I mean, it was fun, and he had that tough one early on in the game that they disallowed, and then he was minus three, just I mean, it's not like he was making a whole lot of mistakes out there. So it was nice to see him rebound and get those two goals at the end there and show some excitement to the fans. And it looked good in that green jersey for sure.
Yeah, that's the other part. I mean, we got two games in a row, this whole net being dislodged, and this one in particular, because it cost an actual goal to Austin Matthews in the first period. The other night, it just cost the Leafs really good scoring chances when they were buzzing around the Chicago Blackhawk net. So, I mean, that would almost be like a standalone topic to chat about, you know, what they could do about that. And, you know, we will get into that a little bit as far as things go. But the other part is, okay, so first, let me get this right. The last six home games, the Leafs were outscored 13-3 in the first period. Now, they at least were tied 1-1 this time. But also getting killed on defensive zone faceoffs. And we saw that with a six Flyer goal. And two parts to it. One is, you know, I just mentioned Austin Matthews got beat on the faceoff, and that's a big part of it, but it's a team thing. And you just said after what you were puzzled about in front of the net, the Leafs, as far as how they defended.
Yeah, they weren't boxing guys out. It just seemed they were playing soft. They weren't playing hard. They weren't playing, there was no meanness in their game. There wasn't any urgency. So I sound like a coach right now in video. That's how they usually talk to us.
There's no urgency. You get to the
But I mean, you got to be boxing guys out. In playoffs, what are you going to be doing? You're going to just play soft like that in front of your goaltender? I mean, you know your goaltender's having a tough night.
This is a concern. If there's a valid worry for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
It's a concern because, I mean, if your goalie's not having, if he's having an off night, and Freddie's played really well, I think, for the most part this year, and I think he's a competitor, but if your D aren't, if he's struggling and your D aren't helping you out like that, I mean, it's going to be a long series and it's going to be a hard uphill climb for them for sure.
And, man, storyline. James Van Riemsdyk gets a hat trick coming back. The first ex-Leaf since Joe Nieuwendyk did it back in 2006. So we're talking, you know, 13 years ago to come back, get a hat trick against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Plus five. Wow, had a phenomenal game that way. And then, so 7-6 win. Again, the Maple Leafs were down 5-2 to the Flyers. They come back and win 7-6 over Philadelphia. We're looking forward to chatting or hearing from Mike Babcock in the next few moments, but next couple of minutes. But they're going to go to Ottawa tonight, which maybe is a bad thing because maybe you just want to leave the building and not see Babs at all. So what will it be like? It's not a long flight, but what's it like after a game as far as Babs leaving people alone or maybe addressing things?
I think he'll leave guys alone. I think he'll just have a laugh about it personally. Maybe not in front of the press or anything, but he usually handles it pretty well. But there's definitely concern. I mean, like I said, at the end there, you can't be letting guys come in and shoot a couple of those goals. They're just letting guys walk right in. So there is something going on in their own end. I'm not exactly sure what it is. I'm not the coach. I can't really figure that one out, but you know, it's tough. They need to be better. They can't have this going into the playoffs. This is the time where they need to be peaking and playing their best hockey and against a team that scores a lot of goals. I mean, you would have thought they would address that before the game.
We're talking Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealer, Gord Stellick, Sean Mathias on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And again, we mentioned James Van Riemsdyk had three of the six Philadelphia Flyer goals. We will hear all the goals later on from the Maple Leafs. Austin Matthews, the sixth and seventh goals, huge. He scored twice. Jake Muzzin scored twice. Zach Hyman, Patrick Marleau, and Martin Marincin. Yes, Martin Marincin, his first goal since November 2016, are the goal scorers, and we will catch all that. So you have to come up also with the hardest working Leaf. So you can take a look at
an idea.
Okay, so it's our Direct Energy Home Services hardest working Toronto Maple Leaf player. We give it after all 82 regular season games. Now, when it was 5-2, would this be the same player when it was 5-2 Philadelphia? Right, would you be more hard pressed, or did you have somebody in mind?
I have someone in mind.
Okay,
I mean, he worked hard tonight. He had a great outfit on too. But can you give it to? Does it have to be a player?
No, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, okay, I got someone in mind then.
Okay, who are you going to give it to?
Joe.
Joe Bowen.
Yeah.
Joe Bowen.
If you dress up like
you
that,
know,
and you have to work that hard. He was the hardest working guy in the building tonight for sure.
So 13 goals he calls, and we'll hear all the calls later on from that's great, Joe Bowen. And it'll be on his Twitter feed and that. He does this. He dresses like a leprechaun. Like a leprechaun that looks like he doesn't have many days left, to tell you the truth. Like, you know, whatever. But he dresses like a leprechaun. So, So Joe Bowen is our Direct Energy Home Services hardest working Leaf, and he will get a kick out of that. He battled laryngitis a couple of weeks ago.
He might not have a voice after this game.
He missed a few games a couple of weeks ago because he battled laryngitis at all. So he'll be happy to hear that. And, of course, he'll be heading to Ottawa tomorrow. We will have that game against the Ottawa Senators. We'll be on at 6:30 with Leafs Nation pregame, and then they take on the Ottawa Senators. And I think the one good thing, Sean, as well, I don't know where you think about as players, because fans are quickly, you know, I know players try to keep a more even balance about things, but had they lost tonight, like you really thought they were going to be, tomorrow, if it happened again, then it would be catastrophic's a bit too strong, but it would be about as close as can be. Like every now and then you got to find a way to stop the bleeding, whatever happens. And tonight they stopped the bleeding.
Yeah. I mean, we're coming down hard on about how many goals they let in and being soft, but at the end of the day, they came back from a 5-2 deficit and they won the game. So if I'm the coach, I mean, yeah, there's things you want to address on video. You play tomorrow. It's a quick turnaround. You're not going to harp on that. I would just be stressing the point. Boys, we came back from a 5-2 game and we made it happen. And that's a lot of character in the room. I'd love to be a fly on the wall and see what guys are saying in there. Guys like JT and Hainsey. I would love to see who's vocal in there for sure, because they did a great job, I'm sure. The guys rallied hard and it was a fun night for the fans for sure.
Okay. Well, it's yeah. He talks about those veterans quite a bit, and Ron Hainsey, Patrick Marleau, John Tavares, and now he throws Jake Muzzin in the mix a little bit more, getting those veteran guys there. So what we'll do, I thought Babcock would be there a little bit quicker, but we'll get him. But we'll, you know, since you made Joe Bowen, the Direct Energy Home Services, hardest working Leaf, we'll start because most of them are Philadelphia calls, and then we'll come back later on after we get Babcock and Chris Johnston probably and get the Leaf calls. There's 13 in total to go. It's going to be hard-pressed for our memory for some of them, but it is after the Leafs, what, have glorious chances on a power play, like three unbelievable chances. And wouldn't you know, it's the Philadelphia Flyers that then come back a few minutes later and strike first.
Draw one and a flash! Shot scores! Right off the faceoff! And a bullet. And Voracek makes it 1-0 Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's one of those ones we just talked about. The traditional faceoff in the Leafs zone. Voracek just back from suspension, his 19th from Nolan Patrick.
Yeah, you alluded to it earlier about losing those draws in your own zone. So it's something that they have to address because, it just keeps happening.
And just that way, bang, bang. That one was a quick one. Other ones we talk about maybe defensive coverage, but that one just bang, went in quickly, losing the draw. Maple Leafs get a chance. There's a power play again. They had a few power play opportunities, and at least they even it up because, as mentioned, they were outscored 13-3 their last six games at home ice in the first period. Looked like they'd be outscored again, but they tie it up on the power play.
Back to the point to Muzzin. Off on the right side, Nylander. Shooting! Scores! Did Patrick Marleau touch that on the way in? But it was a Nylander shot that ties the game, and I think Patrick Marleau, almost trying to jump to get out of the way, has that go in almost chest high.
Yes, he did touch it, Joe. It's Patrick Marleau on the power play, his 15th from Nylander and Muzzin.
Bit of a lucky tip there, but I think Nylander's skating really well. He's looking really good right now.
That was really a sign of things to come. Nylander out in the power play, and we'll hear a little bit more about him later on, even though he didn't get a goal. Tied 1-1 after one period of play. Leafs get all kinds of shots on goal. That's another storyline. They get over 50 shots. 19-11, they outshoot the Philadelphia Flyers in period number one. And then, it seems like the sky starts falling down, and it's a former Leaf that really does the damage. 1:15 in the second period.
Nolan Patrick sending it around the boards to the far side. Tip to the line, just kept in there by Radko Gudas, and they score! Van Riemsdyk in front of the net redirects this Radko Gudas shot, and the Flyers have regained the lead. It's 2-1.
Okay, Joe Bowen definitely had a green beer in intermission there. Radko Gudas shot. Nolan Patrick, and yeah, JVR, James Van Riemsdyk, is 22nd this season. We saw him do this a lot in the blue and white.
Yeah, JVR, I mean, he's got a great stick in front, but it goes back to where are they boxing him out? Nobody's on him, and you leave a guy like that who scored how many goals doing that? So, I mean, he's a good player. He's great in front of net there.
So, nice deflection by him, but there should have been more pressure on him from the Leaf D or somebody.
I think so, yeah.
Not done yet. It's only about, 7 minutes later. Is this going to be kind of a replay?
Brought in on the right side for Giroux. He couldn't get to it. Neither could Van Riemsdyk. Comes back to the point. Kept in there by Couturier. Back of the net. Giroux trying to center. Puck is bouncing in the goal. Three scores. It bounced over Freddie Anderson, who's still looking for it. Now it's underneath his pad.
James Van Riemsdyk has his second.
Yeah, Jimmy Ralph jumping in there. James Van Riemsdyk, second of the game, 23rd of the season from Giroux and Couturier. at the 8:26 mark. So it makes it 3-1. This is kind of the first of the what the hell's going on goals.
Oh, yeah. But classic JVR, another garbage goal. And like I said, you can't leave him in front.
Well, it just takes, let me get this right, a minute later. So, like, this is what was different than the Tampa game and the Chicago game to a degree. Chicago, they came back in the third period, but at least here they had a little bit of fight still here. The Leafs strike a minute later.
Marner counterattacking and is in over the line on the left wing side. Toe drag to the middle of the ice. A pass in front. They score. A beautiful feed to Zach Hyman. And Marner sets it up. And it is 3-2.
What a nice way, too, after JVR getting typical JVR garbage-type goals. You get Zach Hyman from Mitch Marner, Ron Hainsey, one of those, well, highlight reel, but you know what I mean? Yeah, highlight reel's not being too strong, just a real pretty goal.
I feel like we've seen that goal a few times this year. I mean, Mitch Marner, you are something special. It is fun to watch, and Hyman, he gets to the front of net. He does what he does. He works hard, and he gets there. So he was rewarded with a nice one.
You know, the other thing is the term primary assist never used to be as prevalent, right?
It's insane.
Yeah, now it is. And Mitch Marner's got 61, and I bet you 58 of them are primary assists. Yeah, as far as that. And once again, he gets the primary assist on that. So now it's 3-2, but again, the roof falls down again. We're talking 3 minutes later.
Yeah, it's a great show, and we've been having a lot of fun making that, which is a weird thing to say that. Oh, geez.
Uh-oh. A wrist shot by Radko Gudas has beaten the glove hand of the blocking glove of goaltender Freddie Anderson, and the Flyers have upped the ante again and lead by 2 once more, 4-2.
This is funny because that was Will Arnett, yeah, you know, and he also was on the TV side and the Flyers score, but he gets one. Radko Gudas is third from Hag and Couturier at the 12:29 mark.
I mean, how much time did Gudas have with the puck there just walking in like that? It goes back to where's the pressure? But, Will, that's your last game, calling Leaf game. So,
Well, Will Arnett, that's it. He was celebrating at the end. He was down there with Mike Myers and others. So right at this point, it's 4-2 Philadelphia, and we will get the other goals later on because Joe Bowen will get the Leaf voice all revved up. 7-6 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Philadelphia Flyers. Gord Stellick, Sean Mathias, Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. We'll hear from Mike Babcock in a few minutes' time. Chris Johnson from Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, Hockey Night in Canada, joining us. And Chris, you know, when you're busy there, usually with Savvy, but tonight with Sean Mathias, I call it the walk to the subway when you leave the arena and you're just buzzing about things. Man, we would be, I don't care what your subway stop is, you'd be talking about everything. So many storylines tonight. What would you be talking about walking to the subway?
Well, you know, fans, I always say that their resting spot is worry. So I'm guessing there's a few people talking about Freddie Anderson on the way to the subway, just because it's been such an unusual week for him. You know, it was, you know, Leafs MVP probably arguably this season, but to get pulled in two games and then tonight to have a rough outing, his teammates were able to pull him out of it. You know, I'll give him credit. Actually, in the dressing room, he owned the performance and talked about how he's wished he was recovering better, that mentally he hasn't done as good a job of cleaning his mind out and recovering. So, you know, he didn't hide from that. But I think that would be it. You know, the Matthews play, I mean, it'd be a little bit everything. I mean, you don't see a lot of 7-6 games, although this is the second one in probably this season that the Leafs have managed to pull out. And, you know, we're still kind of wondering what's going to happen in the playoffs. I think that's probably what's on people's minds, too. And I think it's a safe assumption you won't see many games that look like this in a few weeks' time.
Well, he's saving it for playoffs, I would hope. But could you maybe harp on a little bit more about what you said, he was cleaning his mind? I thought a lot of those goals tonight were a lot of mistakes by the D. I mean, obviously he didn't have his best game, but there was a lot of soft plays, a lot of guys walking in on him. But I mean, there was a lot of question marks with the D there. And we talked about Zaitsev there at the end. I mean, why don't you have Morgan Riley or Hainsey out there, some veterans, when it's a close game like that?
For sure. You know, it's certainly not all on his shoulders. I think just because, you know, all year long, you know, Freddie's done such a good job of patching up some errors like the ones we're seeing. Maybe this stands out. You know, it's strange how many goals have come directly off of D-zone losses on the faceoffs, you know, which we saw earlier the week against Tampa, and another three in the game tonight. I mean, clearly, you're right. Defensively, I think that there has to be a different mindset or a different approach, you know, as these guys get into bigger games. But, you know, I think that Freddie was acknowledging, you know, when he bobbled the puck, say, in the third period, that long distance one that nearly knocked into his own net by mistake, that maybe he was a little bit rattled between the ears at that point. And, You know, he still made a big save at the end, despite it being 7-6.
Do you think maybe he's tired?
I think it's a possibility. Myself, I know there's some concern in the organization, at least earlier in the year, about how many games he's going to play ultimately this season. He's going to come in lower than where he's been the last two seasons because he had that injury layoff in December and January. But, you know, I would seriously consider giving him extra rest down the stretch, not just the back-to-backs. I mean, obviously, Garrett Sparks starts tomorrow in Ottawa with the back-to-back situation. But, you know, I think that there's a case to be made that even just the mental rest before the playoffs could suit him to find a few extra starts for the backup, because as important as home ice is, I think we'd all agree that Freddie Anderson at his best is much more important than where games 1, 2, 4, and 7 are played.
Yeah, and I'm going to pick that up with Sean later, talking just about that experience, it about mental fatigue and other things during the course of the regular season. But, you know, the other part, Chris, you mentioned, yeah, people may be wondering about Freddie a little bit, but my takeaway at the end, and it goes to the very end, first of all, I was glad to see William Nylander have a strong game, because right now it's in salvage mode for William Nylander. It's not like you're rescuing him from the ship anymore. It's like you're salvaging something. And the other one is, you know, Austin Matthews on the media side as well as anybody. I mean, you covered the story when he was over in Europe and the whole thing. I loved seeing his reaction. I loved that, the smile on his face, the jubilation, like those two goals, and just being that jacked and pumped, because it hasn't been there for a little while, and he doesn't just throw it out here and there. Like, it's got some bite to it. That's nice to see.
Well, I think he's taken his game to another level. You know, to my eyes, he's been good for a decent stretch here, you know, maybe one or two off games in the last, you know, 15 or something. You know, even this week, as bad as some of those games were, you know, he scored against Tampa. He had a dominant night against Chicago and scored a goal in that game. You know, obviously could have had a hat trick tonight, depending on how you view the one that was called back on him in the first period when Brian Elliott had knocked the net off. You know, I think, you know, at the same time, he's one of the centers losing those draws that are ending up in the net. I think four of them in the last three games. But, you know, I see a guy who's found another level. And you know, especially playing with Nylander. I mean, we've talked about this a lot, Gord. I know that I just felt all along when the games got the most important part that you'd see Matthews and Nylander back together. You know, it's happened a bit sooner with Kapanen going out of the lineup here this week. But, you know, they dominate. I mean, last year the Leafs scored 67% of the goals when those two were on the ice. I mean, they tilt the ice decidedly when they're together. I think that they're a perfect fit. And, you know, I think that it's lit a fire under Nylander too. You saw the way he battled to set up Austin's first goal tonight. And he's, you know, getting knocked down. And it's just a desperation play with one hand on his stick to get the puck in front. You know, I think that the best version of the Leafs is having those two on one line and then, you know, having the Hyman, Marner, Tavares line, because it's really going to create some matchup difficulties for the Bruins in terms of where they want to put their top defense pairing with you know, really two first lines, the way I look at it, with, you know, against other NHL teams. Obviously, the Leafs have some other depth down in the bottom six, but I think having that loaded up top six is likely to be where they're going to have their most success.
What are your thoughts on that goal being called back?
Well, I don't like it myself, because, you know, I think in general, this isn't a night where it examines it, but this is a league that wants more scoring. And, you know, we've seen a lot of changes over the years in terms of loosening the kicking motion, you know, the rules around that, so that more goals that are redirected in off a foot count. You know, I don't see how that's any different. You know, I don't think that Elliott did it on purpose per se. You know, obviously the goaltender at that point is pushing off the post or pushing into the post to try to seal that area up. But, you know, he would have scored whether the it was on or not. You know, it's a tricky one. I found two rules in the rule book. One supports what was called, and there's another one, 25.2, on an awarded goal that says if it's knocked off, but you would have scored anyway, essentially, it should count. You know, I guess it's not in the rule book as is. You know, it's not to say that they made the wrong call based on where the rules are, but, you know, it's hard to say that that's that shouldn't count, because in this case, it's clear he was going to score. It wasn't the Leafs that knocked it off, or it wasn't any, you know, a player that forced that play off. It was just the goaltender trying to make a save. And, you know, Austin joked after the game, he said every time one of his goes to a review, he knows it's not going to count. So he's getting used to that.
Well, I thought it should have counted too. And how about JVR's return to Toronto scoring the hat trick tonight?
I know, hat trick and plus five.
It's crazy, right? You know,
Austin has two goals and he's minus two, I think it was. So
yeah, he was.
It's strange game sometimes. And it would have been the JVR revenge game for sure. You know, obviously it's funny seeing the way he scored his goals. It's the way he scored so many, wearing Leaf sweater, you know, the tip on the first one, just collecting some garbage on the second one where, Freddie was slow to track it. Another defenseman cleared it away. I didn't get a really good look at the third one late in the game. But, you know, it's a big night for him. I'm happy to see him having such a good year. I mean, he missed 6 or 7 weeks with an injury to start the season, and he's already up to 24 goals. So, you know, I think the move has treated him well, and, you know, good for him for having a big night here. I'm sure it's not going to feel too good given what that loss means for the Flyers playoff chase. But, you know, I think James Van Riemsdyk was a popular Leaf and was a guy that they probably would have kept in a non-salary cap world. But, you know, they had to make a choice last year, and he's landed on his feet in Philly.
Yeah, and what I like as well, just there was that attitude, who wants to play here? You know, like the Phil Kessel era a little bit when things got toxic and that. And then you had James Van Riemsdyk just saying, I would love to play here. I love playing here. I love how well I've been treated. You know, and it just was kind of a nice, you know, way endorsement of where the organization's gone and about the city and everything else. So I certainly wish him, I think everybody wishes him nothing but the best. So that's what they want to see.
Amazing what winning does, eh? Winning makes everything look better.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's
We don't focus on all the negatives. Everything, no. You can paper over some of the bad stuff.
Yeah, well, now, you know, I know you've been on the road a couple of times on Saturday. Is you back at Mission Control or you're going to Ottawa?
No, I'm at Mission Control tonight, back in for the final couple Saturdays of the regular season and then on the road for the playoffs.
Well, we'll catch you on Hockey Headlines tomorrow on Hockey Night in Canada. Thanks as always, Chris.
Yeah, good to hear from you, Sean. Enjoy your show.
Yep, all the best.
Chris Johnston joining us from Hockey Night in Canada, Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca. You ever feel a mental fatigue or physical fatigue? Can you think of a season? Is there a certain point where, you know, that... Because really, this is a season that's going well enough. I can see when you're losing, it kind of gets on you. But when you're having kind of a middle and an okay season, certain valleys there?
Well, maybe when you're like Marinson, you haven't scored since 2016, that can be pretty tough on you. And I think it could be. I mean, there's a lot of pressure on this team this year to do well. And Freddie's been playing really good. He competes hard, but I think maybe it's not a bad idea to give him, if you lock up that playoff spot, you know you're going to probably play Boston. Maybe give him some rest down the stretch once you clinch, and because you need him going. You need him to be your best player in playoffs, and that's for sure. I mean, Sparks isn't going to lead you to that Stanley Cup. I mean, the guy they need is Freddie, and I think he might need a little bit of rest.
Well, Mike Babcock, let's hear what the Maple Leaf head coach had to say after tonight's wild, woolly, but ultimately 7-6 win over the Philadelphia Flyers.
We saw two Marley losses, two Leaf losses. Partway through the game tonight, I sent security to get them and get them out of the building and then enter the team.
Mike, how do you put a bow on that and just synopsis? What went on?
Well, the guys did a heck of a job for Freddie. Got Freddie a win. He's done that for us a bunch this year. And that's just payback. And now we can move on. And Sparky goes tomorrow. We'll find a way to win. And suddenly, you know, we're right there with Boston, too. And so things tighten up there and give us some more opportunity. I thought we played hard from the start tonight. When they got ahead, I thought we got a little careless for a few minutes. Other than that, we played good.
What's the feeling of 5-2 on the bench? You guys are playing pretty well.
Well, that's what we talked about right there. We're just going to win for Freddie. Just keep doing good things. Don't cheat. I thought we cheated for a few shifts right away there. I don't know if it's panic mode or whatever. And we got away with doing it. And then we just got back to working and playing hard and playing right. And in the end, we won.
It's been an unusual week for Freddie. Are you worried about that?
Well, I said to you today is I really believe in life adversity is just speed bumps to get you to another level. I believe in Freddie a lot. Our guys believe in him. He's a real good man, takes things personal, and he'll be great. And so the mental toughness you need to go deep in the playoffs, you just got to have a belief in yourself. You got to know every day when you come to the rink it's going to turn out right and you're going to be great. And so here's a little test for him. I think these tests are great.
Happy are you to see the chemistry back between Nylander and Matthews?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we talk about chemistry. The biggest part of the chemistry is Willie's competing and working and skating and getting pucks and winning. I mean, he made an unbelievable play on that one goal. But, you know, on one leg, winning a battle, making a play, that's what's happened is when we put him there before, whether it was his conditioning, whether it was his timing, whether... You know, it's a hard leak, and he wasn't ready, and now it looks like he's ready.
A couple more goals winning up these own draw losses. Is that coverage or fluke?
Well, the first one, they just shot it in 2 seconds. What was the second one they did there?
Liquidus
one, okay. And then the last one, we can't lose that draw. I think that was, I don't know if he saw it. I didn't see the last one, to be honest with you. So, but you can't lose faceoffs. That's the bottom line. And I thought we sorted them out fine. And even on the one in the top corner, we just, you can't lose it that clean.
What's the difference here in the last few weeks is for us? That's kind of cool.
Well, I just think injured guy comes back, takes some time, gets skating. And, you know, I don't know if it had to do with, you know, negotiations or any of those things. I don't know. We're all human beings. And I know the players, when they feel great, they play great. When you don't feel good, you don't play good. But you also have to have conditioning now. And the biggest thing with him is skating and his physical side of his game on offense is making him way better. And then when you're skating like he is, you're back there for defense, so you're not giving anything up.
You said 2 nights in a row, the Nets come off at an opportune time, just
fluke. Oh, I can't. What else?
You said Justin Hall had to grab an opportunity. How do you think he played tonight?
Yeah, we gave up 6 goals, but I didn't notice them. That's a good thing.
That was very interesting. First of all, has Mike Babcock ever called you, Sean, a good man? He's a good man.
I hope so.
He does use
that a lot, doesn't he?
And the other fake one that he always talks about, how did we score that goal? Like, is that part of his deflection? Like, I know exactly what I'm talking about, but I like to play dumb.
I don't know. Yeah. All I'm focused on is if he ever called me a real good man.
That's
right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there he is anyway, after the 7-6 win. What we'll do is we'll come back, chat more about it, but we pick up the goal calls. This will be more Leaf calls now. It was 4-2 when we left you, 4-2 for the Philadelphia Flyers. And so they are winning. We just had the Radko Gudas goal. And then all of a sudden, yeah, less than a minute later, we're still in the second period.
Kostas Bear, a long lead pass at center. Giroux dropping it back, gets the drop pass. Has got Kostas Bear going to the net. The puck in front, they score! Kostas Bear hung around. And when the puck came to him on the backhand, he made no mistake.
Well, you gave Joe Bowen the Direct Energy Home Services hardest working Leaf. I like that he calls opposing team goals with the same zip. I got to give him credit because this was the low point in the game. Kostas Bear is 7th from Giroux and Konechny at the 13:27 mark. I mean, it makes it 5-2 Philadelphia, and everyone's in kind of a pissed off mode. But do you remember the goal? This was kind of one.
Yeah, you got Giroux walking in there all again. I mean, that's 2 goals in a row where they let someone walk in untouched and gave them a lot of time. And if you give guys at this level that much time, I mean, bad things are going
to
happen.
And that's what you're saying to Chris Johnson about. You know, it's good on Freddie, like, taking it on himself. And he hasn't played great, but man, oh, man, these are brutal, brutal defensive lapses.
Yeah, I mean, Freddie didn't get to his post there in time. But, I mean, you're letting a guy who scored 100 points in this league walk in all alone. I mean, what do you think is going to happen?
Well, 5-2 now. And I came in and was chatting with George Russick for a bit when it's 5-2. And we brought them luck. We talked about one Jake Gardner being out of the lineup, but it's another Jake that rears his head late in the second period.
Brown back on the boards now for Kadri to the blue line to Hainsey. Far side to Muzzin. Shot taken, scores! From inside the dot, that somehow handcuffs Elliott 5-3.
Jake Muzzin is 7th from Hainsey and Kadri, and when Joe Bowen politely says somewhat handcuffs Elliott, I think we know what kind of goal it is.
Is he Irish? Like, was that the luck of the Irish right there? I mean, that shot had eyes for sure.
It absolutely did, and it just said at that point they're going to pour everything and anything on Brian Elliott. So I think this is probably Jake Muzzin's next shift 2 minutes later, and he says, what the hell.
That's what we're saying right now.
Kadri looking back at the blue line, trying to get away from a man, knocked down on the play, back on his skates, comes away with the loose puck, back to the point, Marty Marincin, shot, scores! Holy mackerel! The Leafs have tied the game!
Okay, so anyway, we'll go back just one, because I want to touch on that one. So we had Jake Muzzin, then after that scored his 8th, 2nd of the game from Brown and Zaitsev. So that cut it to 5-4, heading into the third period. And Leafs outshot Philadelphia 16-9. So it's 5-4. And you just heard that one. That's the game-tying goal from Martin Marincin, his first since November 2016. So obviously his first of the season from Kadri, and Justin Hall getting his first assist as well. So Marty Morenson. So that's a 255 mark of the 255 mark of the first period, and that the third period, and that ties it up, and it made it look like. I mean, that was the one he fires from the point, and it hits the Flyer on the glove. Remember that? I was wondering who it was, and said, did he get hurt as well as deflecting it in? I mean, that's about the only way Martin Morenson's gonna get a goal of late.
Hey, he got one.
Yeah,
let's lay off him. Come on, it's been since 2016. So, but I mean, a couple good goals from the point there. I mean, Muzzin was buzzing tonight. So let's go.
Yeah, Muzzin was buzzing. Can you rhyme with Morenson? I don't know. It's a hard one. Morenson was anyway. Whatever he was. Yeah. So he ties it up. And now we're saying, wow, it's a tie game. The fans are jacked. We heard Will Arnett earlier. We saw Mike Myers there. There's just a Walter Gretzky there again. All these people there. It's a rare Friday night home game. And 5 minutes left. And number 34, Big Cactus, center stage.
Up on the left wing for Austin Matthews, driving wide. Trying to get a shot away on the short side, and it was off the side of the goal. Centered in front of that. Matthews hit the goal. They score! The light hasn't gone on yet. I thought it might have hit the goalpost that came out so fast. But Austin Matthews has given the Leafs the lead.
Austin Matthews, Big Cactus, 5 minutes left from Nylander, the great celebration.
And I'll quote Austin Matthews here, let's go.
Let's go.
He was getting him fired up, and boy, was he fired up after those ones, so it was good.
Yeah, well, we thought that would be the game-winning goal, but he scores what should be the insurance marker, but actually ends up being the game-winning goal.
Another pass in front and a big save by Anderson. The puck around the boards. This reminds me of a lacrosse game. Here's Johnson going the other way, shooting, rebounded, front score! Austin Matthews, his second consecutive goal, and the Leafs lead 7-5.
The green beer is flowing with Joe Bowen and Jim Ralph, and he matches his number 34, Austin Matthews, from Janssen and Zaitsev at the 17:21 mark.
Joe, you deserve a slow clap and a standing ovation tonight. I mean, you were just absolutely something special tonight. That was amazing.
Yeah, this one was a little bit different. The puck was kind of loose, put it in. James Van Riemsdyk made it close with a 1:14 left, got the hat trick, but it's a 7-6 win for the Leafs over the Philadelphia Flyers. Leafs in Ottawa tomorrow. We'll be on with Leafs Nation pregame at 6:30, then the Leafs and Senators game. 7-6 win over the Philadelphia Flyers tonight. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Sean Mathias on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Don't worry, we'll turn the lights off when we leave, but we're not done yet. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network.
Yes, it was a bit of everything tonight. A wild, woolly, come-from-behind 5-2 deficit, 7-6 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Philadelphia Flyers. We welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Sean Mathias on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. It's funny about plus-minus, Sean, when you talked about that. James Van Riemsdyk was a +5, got a hat trick for Philadelphia.
Green mouth guard.
Yeah, green mouth guard. We saw that again. Austin Matthews.
It's a luck, man. It's on St. Pat's Day.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to think. He's got the guy with the green mouth guard is, of course, going to have a hat trick, right?
You're right about that, because green is not the appropriate color other games. And he's like a kid, always dangling out after a goal or a whistle or something like that to JVR. So this was the appropriate night for him. Austin Matthews, great game. Gets the big goals, but also, what does he come up? He's minus two in the game, and he's minus for the season. But that's where, like, the plus-minus stat is, what, sometimes fair, sometimes unfair, or is it accurate?
You don't want to be the guy who gets the green jacket in the league, for sure. You'll be roasted in the room, for sure. But, I mean, you look at a guy like Evgeny Malkin. I mean, he's minus 17, and he's having a pretty good season. And
yeah.
You look at Crosby, he plays on a different line, and he's plus, like, 25 right now. So it's one of those stats. I mean, some years you're going to be fine there, and then other years it just blows up. And when it starts to blow up, I mean, it's one of those stats. I was minus 34 my first year pro in the AHL.
Wow.
And I didn't think I could step on the ice without a goal. I mean, the confidence was gone, and it is hard on the player if you read into it, especially a young player, right?
Well, he's thinking more about the two goals that he got, the tying goal, the game winner. And here is Austin Matthews post game after the 7-6 win.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. You know, I think, like you said, we showed a lot of resilience. Never quit. I think everybody in this locker room, we had our mindset that no matter what, we're going to come out and win this game. And, I mean, everybody scoring throughout our whole lineup, which is key, and that's something that we find we have on this team is depth. And when you get scoring from all different areas, it's definitely a good sign.
What did you like about your line there in the third period?
I mean, I thought we were pretty good all game. It doesn't look too good on the score sheet when you're minus two, but you know, I thought we had a lot of good chances there in the first period. And I mean, a couple, you know, face-offs where they're, you know, got some set plays and they're capitalizing. So, I mean, that's something that we can all clean up. But I thought the first and third, you know, we were dominant. We had the puck lots and created plays. And, you know, luckily we finally got a couple goals right at the end, which is a nice little reward for us.
With that in mind, Austin, what's it feeling on the bench when it's 5-2 and you guys have played as well as?
I think it's calm. I mean, all through the bench, even from the coaching staff to the players, I think everybody's calm. We felt we were playing a good game so far. A couple breaks, a couple mistakes on our part, but all in all, I thought we were playing well, and I think just calm, cool, collected, and just continued to chip away at it, and you know, we came out with a big 2 points for us tonight.
Were you surprised that first period one came back on you?
Yeah, I'm.
My
review percentage is terrible, so I'm banking. Like I told Mark, like 5 minutes ago, I'm just banking on if it's my goal is getting reviewed now, it's just gonna automatically be no goal. But I don't know what the rule is, or if I pushed it off, or somebody else did, or the goalie. But yeah, I don't know what to tell you.
Well, Freddie's had a bit of a rough week. Do you kind of feel like tonight you guys were able to save him, and he saved you guys so much through the year?
He saved us so many times, and I mean, we definitely owed him one. So, I mean, he came up with a couple big saves there in the final seconds of the game to cap it off. But, I mean, he's been our brick wall for us all year. And, I mean, these last couple of games, they're not completely on him. I'm sure for him, you know, he'd like to have some of those back. But for us, I mean, that's our guy, and we got to play better for him. And tonight, I think this is a good win for us, and just getting back on track.
Oscar Williams been for a while, but what kind of zone
is he in tonight? Oh, he's playing great. I think we've kind of rekindled that chemistry that we've had our first 2 years playing together, and Johnny's been a really nice addition just because he works so hard. He's so good at getting under guys and even in front of the net for a small guy. I mean, he's not afraid to go in the corners and battle and come out with pucks, so I think our line last, you know, tonight, I thought the other game in the third period were really good as well, and we've came up with some nice plays, created some offense, and then obviously capitalized on a couple tonight.
Do you see it as bad luck that some goals have been going in off those D-zone losses, or is it coverage issues, or a bit of everything?
I think a little bit of everything. You know, we go over these stuff every day, so we just got to do a little bit of a better job executing.
Well, he's pumped. Austin Matthews, after the 7-6 Wild Woolly win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Philadelphia Flyers. We'll be back with more Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Sean Mathias on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
You think you have a lot to say about that game? You should hear these guys. This is the Leafs Nation postgame with Gord Stellick and Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Yes, a crazy night at Scotiabank Arena. A 5-2 deficit becomes a 7-6 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Philadelphia Flyers. We welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Sean Mathias on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. We've had all the excitement of the walk to the subway, all that with Chris Johnson, all that checking in, all that, the buzz right after the game. We can take a little bit of a breath now, although you think there's a marketing idea for a Maple Leaf defenseman. T-shirts?
I do.
Yeah?
I think it's Buzzin' for Muzzin'. If someone can make me that shirt, I would love one. Or so, Buzz for Muzz.
Buzz for Muzz, Buzzin' for Muzzin'. Well, you never know. The Jerks came up with the Carolina Hurricanes. Maybe it's got to be Don Cherry that says that. Yeah. All of a sudden, they went to town with that. By the way, Carolina, that's a big loss for them. Big win for the Columbus Blue Jackets tonight, 3-0 over Carolina. Again, to put the big game in context, Sean, because, you know, we'll hear from Chris Johnson later on. I mean, fans tend to have the Chicken Little complex, the sky falls down rather quickly when things go south. What do you make of tonight's game for the Toronto Maple Leafs when the dust settles as a team that's, you know, all in all having a positive season but had a real, real weird and negative week?
I'm going to take the positives out of it. They were down 5-2 and they came back. They rallied as a team. So And then I listened to Austin Matthews talk after the game. They talk about their goaltending, and you can see they have each other's back. You hear about Babs and how he talks about Freddie. So I think the positives out of this game, they came back from 5-2 against a team that scores a lot of goals, and they scored a lot of goals early, and they played hard for their goaltender, who's, I think, been maybe their MVP for the season. So it's a good team win. It's probably not how they drew it up, and but I doubt you'll see much on video. They're going to focus hard on Ottawa tomorrow, so they'll put it in their rearview mirror and keep moving forward.
Yeah, and you certainly want to get healthy on defense. You want Jake Gardner back. You want Travis Dermott back, because Perry Kapanen's still out as well. And I just think the one up front now, and Kapanen's injury kind of did it, in my opinion, like, you got to be set for the playoffs now. And I got to think, you've got to, for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, put Nylander back with Matthews. It was nice to see them have some mojo tonight, because it's really been a struggle for Nylander the whole season.
I agree with you there, and I didn't really like Babs's comments about Nylander there after the game. I don't even know why you're bringing up stuff from a couple of months ago. We all know he didn't have a great start, but he's playing well right now. He's skating really well. So you got your goaltenders back there. You're bailing him out. You're saying all the right things about him. Say the right things about Nylander. He seems to always get hard on him and get a little bit down on him. And I mean, I don't know Nylander that well. I only had one camp with him, but I would think as a player, you're probably going, man, I'm playing well, and you're still bringing up things from a couple months ago. You know, you're talking about my conditioning. Like, I'm sure you worked very hard in the summer. It is different. It's a different level of compete when you're going to a training camp, and in Nylander's case, skating the guy as a cage. But I think you should just leave him alone and let him play now.
Bigger question, and not after when you mean it, but just coaches only have an act for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just curious about, you know, and Mike Babcock, no secret, his act, you know, ran dry. He was very successful. But Detroit, it was a mutual parting of the ways that way. And I'm not trying to get Mike Babcock. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, so not, I don't want to get Mike Babcock out of town. But the younger guy's getting older now.
And they're making more money.
And all of a sudden, so it kind of crosses into a bit of a different territory, I would think, right now.
Yeah. When the coach is the highest paid player or person on the team, I mean, it's a little different. And like you said, these guys are getting older. You don't think. Well, we all know what Zetterberg said about him last year. And I think Babs is a very good coach. I think he's, like he says, he's a very good man. He works hard and he cares about these guys. But at some point, I mean, you talk about mental toughness about Anderson. Guys are going to eventually give up on you if you keep riding him too long. And Nylander, he's, you know, he had the media. It's tough. And that comes with the territory, right? You sign a big contract like that. But when you start playing well and you listen to Matthews, he wants to play with Nylander. We heard his comments after the game. I mean, I took from that, he wants to play with Nylander, and you got Babs still kind of going hard on him there at the end. It's like, you didn't do that for Anderson there, so why are you doing that to me if I was Nylander? So, I mean, like you said, I think the act gets a little old after a little while.
Yeah, well, we'll find the act hits the road, and man, this is a far different game tomorrow night. This would have been a real desperate game in Ottawa had the Maple Leafs lost.
Yeah, I don't know if Ottawa can score 6 goals, though, so I think, I mean, they're not playing too well. But, yeah, if they had lost tonight, that's a hard back-to-back. Any back-to-back's hard, and when you take a – we've seen with the Leafs, sometimes they do have an off night against these weaker teams, but I'm hoping they go in there and they play as hard as they can and play well in front of Sparks and get the win.
Yeah, and Ottawa, 2-0 win over the St. Louis Blues their last game, so one of their better games. Of course, we'll have it at 6:30 Leafs Nation pregame tomorrow, and then the game right here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, with Joe Bowen. Do you think his St. Paddy's Day outfit will travel to Ottawa? I wonder.
It's lucky. You can't take it off now. St. Paddy's Day hasn't came yet, so it's not.
That's true.
So he should have it.
Okay, well, wear it again. Just get some St. Paddy's deodorant is what we want to make sure he has for tomorrow night. Well, we will hear from Mike Babcock when we come back. And by the way, the reference he talks about, he had some buddies from England, I guess, in town, and they'd seen a couple of Marley losses, a couple of Leaf losses, so he was happy for them to finally see a Toronto Maple Leaf win. And Chris Johnston will also join us. The great goal calls coming up. What a night it was. 7-6, the Toronto Maple Leafs beat the Philadelphia Flyers. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelick, Sean Mathias on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.